extremely encouraging and helpful faith-building book in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Again, write to us at Save America Ministries. And I want to urge you to become a partner with us day after day. We're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour, as we have been today, focusing on trusting God in tough times. And I want to urge you to become a partner with us. We cannot continue without your assistance. God uses people to meet the needs of ministry. And it costs us hugely to stay on your station. If you value it, send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you. Be a blessing. Let's trust the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church, declaring vision.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we'll start out, I think, maybe this evening, talking about the coming world war. And, of course, Sydney, we had as a guest this afternoon, we'll be having as a guest, I think he's on Sydney Friday morning, our early morning program, and we'll have him on again. But this was John Quirk, and John has been with the Central Intelligence Agency for many years. He's supposedly no longer working with them, but he's traveling all over the world and of course, coming in contact and working with some of the resistance groups in Iran, those people who oppose the government there, the government that we installed back in 1979. Nobody ever likes to talk about that. But as we talked to John about what's going on, it was very obvious. He believes that Israel is going to attack Iran. When this is going to happen, nobody knows. It's not going to happen before the first of the year, and it may be held off a fair length of time. I don't think it's a matter of whether or not, it's a matter of when Israel is going to strike Iran. Now, the problem with this whole scenario is, when you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. And when you start a war when the other side has access to nuclear weapons, you could be opening a Pandora's box, getting a genie out of a bottle, and you're not going to be able to get Pandora, the genie, back in again. And what is even more frightening is I'm firmly convinced that Iran does have nuclear weapons. It had them going back to the 1990s, and there's a gentleman who's written a book back in the 1990s, consultant for the Republican component in Congress. In the 1990s, he was writing about the fact that Iran had bought a couple of nuclear weapons on the open market. They were available at that time. But, of course, she is in the process now, I'm sure, of developing nuclear weapons. And, of course, she got the technology from Pakistan that got the technology from the United States. And if you haven't read my January 2006 newsletter, Radio Liberty, 2008, that's January 2008 newsletter, and I think it's called Prophetic Warning. Anyway, it's the Sybil Edmonds story, and if you can go up on the Internet, a wonderful thing about the Internet, if you have a search engine, you simply go to, Radio Liberty Sybil Edmonds. Radio Liberty Sybil Edmonds, and it'll take you right to the proper newsletter, but it's January 2008. Tells her the story of this woman who used to work for the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who found that there was a Turkish and Israeli spy ring working at the highest levels of our State Department that was transferring nuclear technology to Pakistan. The State Department knew what was going on. The FBI knew what was going on, but they were told not to intervene. And we were actively, and had been for many years, transferring nuclear technology to Pakistan. And as we've asked so many times, how do you honestly think that a third world nation like Pakistan could ever have developed a nuclear weapon without help from the West? And the answer is they couldn't have. We intentionally transferred the technology for the war. Well, I forgot to ask people to call in, but if you're out there, give us a call. The telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And of course, what this is all about is a two-way conversation. And so we do hope, if you're out in the listening audience and you want to talk about the possibility of a war with Iran, or you want to talk about something else, that's what open lines are really all about. So give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, John Quirk, as we talked to him this afternoon, felt that very likely there'd be a war with Iran, and then, of course, we would intervene, and there would be negotiations, and the war would come to an end. But certainly, as I pointed out, well, when you start a war, you never know how that war is going to end, and I certainly brought up what happened at Sarajevo. And Sarajevo, of course, was the spark that started World War I. It was a minor incident. It happened, in Serbia, where the Crown Prince of Serbia, Crown Prince Ferdinand, was assassinated in Sarajevo, and of course there was a conspiracy behind it, a Masonic conspiracy, but it started a confrontation between the Austro-Hungarian government and the Serbian government at that time, and as a result of that, the Serbians began to amass troops. Actually, the Austro-Hungarians began to amass troops, and the Serbians tried to negotiate some sort of a settlement with them, and the Austrians made impossible demands, and then the Serbians tried to appease the Austro-Hungarians, because Austria-Hungary was a great empire at that time, and Serbia was just a little tiny country, and then why Austria would not, of course, be appeased, and they were posturing, and then Russia began, of course, to actually mobilize to protect Serbia from an Austro-Hungarian attack, and things began to escalate, and they kept getting worse and worse, and then of course Germany had to mobilize, because she had a treaty with Austria-Hungary, and of course before long, with a very minor incident, the World War I and 14 million unnecessary deaths later, with, of course, Europe, certainly in rubble, great cities there destroyed, why the war came to an end, and nothing had been accomplished. But the lesson of Sarajevo was that when you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we were just reviewing the history of World War I, how it started with a minor incident, and nobody really thought much was going to happen. What they did not understand is that Great Britain and the secret society that controlled Great Britain, to which Sir Edward Grey was beholden, wanted a war. They wanted a horrible, long, bloody war. Why did they want a horrible, long, bloody war? Most people are unaware that it was a secret society that controlled Great Britain at that time. It was Cecil Rhodes' secret society, the one that eventually, of course, came to America and became the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, they wanted a world government. And, of course, the World War One was to bring and fought to bring about a world government. And of course, the whole idea was that the longer it lasted, the more bloody it would be, the more people would be willing to give up their national sovereignty and embrace a world government. And that's why the war was prolonged. And, of course, it had to be prolonged to bring America into this and to kill a lot of Americans, so the Americans would be so horrified at the prospect of another war that they would be willing to give up their sovereignty and join the League of Nations. And then, of course, when the League of Nations failed, it guaranteed the Second World War. And, of course, the United Nations was formed as a result of that. But it has not yet brought about a complete world government, and that is why we're going to have a Third World War. And this has always been planned. You go back and read the writings of H.G. Wells, certainly the writing back I believe it was the early 1930s, in a book called The Shape of Things to Come. He was talking about the Second World War. Now, this was after the First World War. But he even told you the month the Second World War would start. And then, of course, he talked about the third try for the New World Order that would take place, and that would be in 1980s, and it would come out of a place called Basra in Iraq. Well, our telephone, so this is all planned. They know what's going on. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and of course, the Third World War. The war with Iran that we've been planning for a long time. Well, that's the reason we toppled the Shah and brought the Ayatollahs to power. And why we've covered for Iranian atrocities since that time, covered for the fact that they were involved in the bombing of the Pan Am 103 over Lockerbie, and why we accused the Libyans and sent an innocent man to prison, and then turned him loose after 7 years in prison, after killing well over 160 to 200 people. Why would you turn a cold-blooded killer who killed between 160 and 200 people loose after 7 years? Oh, it was a compassionate thing to do. No, it wasn't compassionate. They knew he was innocent. They knew the Iranians had done it. But, of course, they couldn't let the American people know, or we would have had to retaliate. Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Ray, what would you like to talk about?
I'd like to talk about some of the things that were said last night. It was very interesting. I listened last night, and I do believe, myself, that we're in the final stages of, probably just before the apocalypse, the tribulation. But what I was going to say was that the Bible clearly talks about lying wonders and false miracles and things in the sky. There's several references to what I would say extraterrestrial flying saucers. There's parts of the Bible that I think kind of hint toward the fact that maybe these things are demonically inspired. They're actually illusions that appear to be real, or maybe, possibly, these things could actually dematerialize
They can actually materialize and then dematerialize. Right?
Yeah,
People have seen them, and my wife saw one many years ago. And it hovered in the sky for half an hour, as she watched it. She and her dad, and one of her dad's closest friends was a very prominent person up where they lived. And he said he'd also seen them, but he was afraid to come forward and mention it because everybody would think he was crazy. But there's no question they exist, and they can materialize. and then they can dematerialize, which, of course, takes you into this whole supernatural realm. But and of course, I think Ray's talking about my interview with J. Michael Bennett. Fascinating interview. If you didn't hear it, we had him on again this afternoon in the 4 o'clock slot. A very important Sydney interview and a very bright young man, and I'm just so pleased he's down there in Nashville being to educate the people there in that part of the world about what's really going on.
You know, I was gonna also mention in reference to last night's program, the Catholics believe that there will be a false prophet, which will be an anti-apostate a pope that will work alongside, corresponding to the wishes of the Antichrist, and he will also be very evil, of course, and that the church will itself, the entire Christian church, will go underground in some form or another. It'll survive because the Holy Spirit is with us, you know. So I don't think there's any fear that the Christianity will die, because the Holy Spirit is, you know, given, you know. I believe that.
Well, Christianity is not going to die because it's the true religion, but I believe there's going to be some terrible, terrible things, and I think Christians are going to go through terrible, terrible times, and I think we have to prepare them psychologically, because there's so many people who say, well, I'm not going to be here, too bad about you guys,
right.
But what happens if they're wrong? You know, we don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I believe the Lord is coming again. I believe we're entering end times. But and I just hope and pray that there's a pre-tribulation rapture. But in case there isn't, I think we've got to make those preparations. Because this is not a part of the Scriptures. This is what men believe. Mm-hmm. Well, we know that Christ is coming again. We know there are going to be terrible times. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're beginning to see that time of sorrows. Anything else you wanted to say, Ray?
Only one thing. Also in the Catholic faith, there are only going to be 13 popes. The last one, his name is Petrus Romanus. There's never been a pope named Peter, but the last pope will be Petrus Romanus. I think, and this is according to the prophecy of, I think it's Saint Malachi or one of the saints. Anyway, he said that it indicates that Pope Benedict may be the last of the. He's not the last pope, but he's. It's getting close to, you know, the time of the tribulation.
Well, I'm just so glad that the Protestant, the Catholic, can agree that we're heading to difficult times.
Yeah, we're all.
And
agreeing.
The important thing is our personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only thing that's going to see any of us through.
Yeah.
And certainly. God bless you, Ray. It's always good to hear from you.
Okay, great.
Okay, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Let's go to Bill, who's calling in from Memphis. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Hi, Doc. Dr. Stan. You're talking about these three world wars. I have a question. You know, you've been doing research for years now, and there's a book or whatever you call it, called the Protocols of Zion, the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion.
Right.
Is this valid Illuminati plan?
Yeah, it's a valid Illuminati plan, but this is not a Jewish conspiracy. This was written and was actually circulated in an effort to draw people away from an understanding of what this is all about. Are there Jewish people in the conspiracy? Absolutely. But the average Jewish person has no knowledge of a vast conspiracy. Certainly, if you haven't heard my interviews with Barry Shamish on the Sabbatean movement, they're well worthwhile. This is a satanic cult within the upper echelons of the Jewish religion, having nothing to do with belief in the Bible, the Torah, but it is there to certainly throw people off the track. there is a master plan. The protocols tells you what it is, but it is an effort to prevent people from understanding there is a worldwide satanic conspiracy against God. And, of course, what they want to do is shift the responsibility to the Jewish people to get people to hate Jews, and I personally believe, to try to once again instill anti-Semitism throughout the world so that Jews will once again flee to the Holy Land where they can be destroyed. I believe that the Jews are God's holy people, favorite nation. I don't know why he chose the Jews, but I believe he did. I don't think it's fair at all. But I think that if you read the scriptures, you'll find out that at the end times, they were going to return to the Holy Land. The fact that they are in the Holy Land today, even though most of them are apostate, half of them are not, don't even believe in the Jewish faith, God has put them there for a purpose. The background of the protocols, basically, they were first identified in about 1905, and somebody had taken them to Russia. They were widely circulated. The Tsar read them. He believed them, and he allowed them, the pogroms against the Jewish people. Jews had been persecuted before, and had done very well in Russia. But after the protocols came, this justified the pogroms, and then that mobilized the Jewish people of the world against the Tsar, and we'll be back in just a moment on number 1-888-24 Liberty. Well, anyway, Bill, of course, the protocols were translated. They were translated into German.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Elders of Zion, which is the master plan for everything going on, but it wasn't written by the Jews. It was written to shift the blame to the Jews for the plan of the occultists. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Anything else I can do for you, Bill?
No, I was just curious. I had a book from the library, Warrant for Genocide, which is written by a Jewish...
That was Norman Cohn's book.
Yes.
Professor
Norman
Cohn.
You know, there's so much false information, and I, even though I don't know you, I hope I can trust you. And I know you've been researching these things for many years. I have your book about the Brotherhood and so on.
Well,
and I appreciate you talking to me.
God bless. Thanks very much. Well, let's go to Chris calling in from Yakima, Washington. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Bill from Memphis saying, there's so much information out there to confuse you. And that's just exactly what it's all about. They want you to be confused. They want to give you so much information you can't think it through. You'll get something called, name escapes me. It has to do with resonance. You just get so much overload of information. Why you can't think things through? It's called cognitive cognitive disorder, something disorder. Anything else now? All right, then who do we have? We've got somebody. Anything else you want to ask, Chris?
I just was, not really. That's pretty much it. I just wanted to know more about the one world government that was taking place.
Well, there's a master plan for one world government. It's been the plan of the ancient mystery religions and the secret societies for 6,000 years. It dates back to the time of Nimrod, when Nimrod tried to unite the world, and God intervened and actually had people speak different languages. That was, of course, when they built the Tower of Babylon, or they called
right,
it.
Right, the Tower of Babel. I wanted
right.
to touch more about that, about
how... All right, fine.
Things are coming together, like just in the days of Noah, where there was lovers of money and people were coming together for men were marrying men. They were practicing it, and now in the United States, they're really pushing it as a law, to that it's all right.
You're absolutely right. As it was in the days of Noah. Somebody asked Christ when he came again. He says this was in the days of Noah. And it's, that word we were thinking of was cognitive dissonance. But so the times of Noah, there was total immorality, and that's exactly what we have today. And then, of course, there were these supernatural forces, these demonic beings were mating with women. And God had, of course, to purify the gene pool. That's why he killed everybody on Earth except for Noah.
And started all over again. Yeah, and when he sent Noah to do that, everybody just really thought that he was just obscene. There was not any kind of, there was no basis of what he was talking about. Any of it was true. And now, you know, this is like even 500 years ago when Christopher Columbus sailed across the Atlantic, people thought he was just crazy and out of this world. And now, right now, these so many different things are taking place. The UN, how currency is being exchanged, and the rate of sin, you could say, or things that are just not 50 years ago. We couldn't conceive gay marriage, or there's a lot of different things that we can just, that we're calloused over with right now.
Well, it's not just homosexual immorality, it's heterosexual immorality, it's drugs, it's what they're doing to the children. But even behind this, of course, there's a great deal of occult activity and child sacrifice and Satanism, and there really are satanic organizations out there. Many of them work at the highest levels of our government. We live in a fallen world, Chris, and we have to recognize that. And of course, God is going to move against the world, I fear.
Yes, I just pray that people will listen to, these signs and just know that in their hearts that something's coming soon.
Well, our job is to get the information out, and this is why we do what we do. We make offers to get copies of my book and buy the case, get them out. But hang on, we'll be back in just a moment. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Joe from New Jersey. Go right ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hi. Okay, I'm just calling regards to the previous caller to just sort of like set the record straight. I just want to clarify his statement about the... Actually, it was called the Malachi Prophecy. It was a bishop by the name of Malachi. I don't know exactly where he journeyed from, but he made a pilgrimage to Rome, and he fell into some kind of a trance, and he saw all the popes from his time on to the end of time. And interestingly, he mentioned, who was the pope before Benedict the 16th? Pope John Paul the 23rd, was that?
No, it was John Paul the 2nd. Then.
Okay.
And before that was Paul the 6th, and before that was John. Was John the 23rd.
Okay. So here he is now predicting how he predicted the Pope John Paul the 2nd, who died just before Benedict the 16th came on the scene. And he predicted that Pope John would be born during a lunar eclipse, and that he would, I think, be buried during a lunar eclipse. And, you know, I looked that up and with the NASA observatory, and sure enough, Pope John Paul, I checked his date, his birth date, and he was born during a lunar eclipse, and he was buried exactly during another lunar eclipse. Where those eclipses were in the world, I don't know. But
now, you're talking about John Paul the second?
Yes,
okay,
yes, and that's what Malachi said about him. And now he said just prior to the return of Christ, there would be this last pope who would be called Petros Romanos. And it remains to be seen whether this is going to come true, but that's the story of Malachi's prophecy.
Well, I think it's fascinating because you always want to be concerned when somebody falls asleep and starts getting these messages, because certainly like Edgar Cayce or so many other people involved with the occult.
Yeah.
Why, of course, there is occult knowledge out there, and sometimes it's very accurate, and sometimes it's a lie. But I believe, of course, we're moving rapidly towards the climax of history.
Sure.
Anything else?
And you know, another thing, Dr. Stan,
Hold that thought for just a minute.
Yeah,
we're
going to
go hold just for a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Joe from New Jersey who was actually calling to correct our earlier caller on the prophecies of Father Malachi. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you'd like to come on, if you have something to say. But we've got Joe calling from New Jersey talking about this Catholic priest who had this vision and named the sequence of all of the popes, and he was talking about how one of them said that this pope, next to the last pope, I assume this is next to the last pope, would be born during a solar eclipse and would be buried during a solar eclipse, and according to Joe, why that happened. So go ahead, Joe.
I agree with you that you don't want to delve into those kind of satanic types of revelations. However, the Bible does say that the devil does understand dark secrets. So when you access those kind of spirits, you will get information that sort of like is true, but not 100%.
You're absolutely right. The only real truth we'll find in the scriptures. But remember, of course, there is a real force out there. You can tap into it. You don't want to tap into it. You want to avoid people who tap into it. But there are mediums. Certainly, the one is depicted on the television every week. Alison Dubois, a beautiful woman. I don't know if you ever see it. It's on CBS now. And of course, she helps the district attorney to catch the bad guy. And you really identify with her, and you identify with the DA and the detective and all of the interplay. She has three of the most beautiful daughters. We've had the privilege of watching these young girls mature over a period of years. It's sort of like, almost like family. But there really was an Alison DeBoss. She's still living. She actually did help the district attorney, of course, get the bad guys. But she was delving into the dark side for information. There really are fortune tellers and diviners and astrologers. And many of our presidents have gone to these astrologers to guide their administrations. And you'd be surprised to find out which of our so-called conservative presidents were involved in the occult. In fact, I would say probably the majority of them, at least half of those going back to FDR, in one way or another have been involved with the occult. But our job is to point out that this exists, stay away from it, understand that these are signs that we're approaching the end of times as we know it. Anything else, Joe?
Yeah, I just wanted to also mention, have you been able to get that book by D. James Kennedy, The Real Meaning of the Zodiac?
No, I really haven't. I'm sorry. I just don't have much time. If you ever come across a copy, let me know.
I understand.
Get it. Okay.
His book is very interesting, and it's actually not satanic in any sort of a way, but it does talk about the he did a lot of research on that, and he quotes a lot of his references, which were archaeological records, and it's very interesting.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks very
much. Nice talking to you.
Okay, fine. Let's go to Marie, is calling from Flint, Michigan, where we have a major outlet this time of night. Hi, Marie. How are you doing? Oh, Mario. Hi, Mario.
Thank you. How are you doing, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing just great.
Good. I wanted to ask you about what you were speaking about at the top of the hour concerning the prospect of a war with Iran. I remember back, I guess it was earlier this year, just a few months ago, when these protests were going on in Iran, and it seemed like there was a pervasive popular movement to oppose the Iranian government. And I was wondering, in the event that Iran does go to war with Israel and this country, What is the likelihood that there might be a significant element of the Iranian military that won't even support the Iranian government in their cause?
I think that the Iranian Iranian military will support the government there. If Israel attacks Iran, it will unite the Iranian people behind even an unpopular government, and it's just the way things are. Now, first of all, let me give our telephone number out. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Never forget, Mario, that the American government, the CIA, put the mullahs in power back in 1979. Nobody ever talks about that. We actually had trained the Shah's secret police. They became the Iranian Iranian Guard, So basically, the Iranian Guard that keeps them in power were trained by the Shah's government, which was trained by the CIA. And we actually I'm sure we have our agents there. I'm sure that we are controlling people all throughout the world. Now, we've been putting out a great deal of money in an effort to topple the Iranian government that we installed. We are at war with Iran. When you are actively involved in trying to topple the nation, the government of a sovereign state, you're at war with that state. How do you think we would feel if the Chinese communists were trying to topple our government and were putting hundreds of millions of dollars into raising a revolutionary movement in the United States? We would consider that an act of war. Well, we're at war with Iran. We have been for a long time. And yet, of course, we put them in power. We've covered for them. They've committed terrible atrocities, and we've continued covering for them because there is a timetable. I'm firmly convinced of that. There is a master plan. That plan involves us going to war with Iran at the proper time, and I feel that that proper time is at hand. Where is the plan written? It's written in Ezekiel 38 and 39, if you read it. And you look at all the countries that are listed there. Why, they're the countries that exist today. You go back, 75 years. Why, of course, there was no independent Syria. It was actually, it was a French colony. And Persia was controlled by the British, as was Egypt, Italy, I think, controlled Libya. I mean, 75 years ago, there was no Israeli state. Just at this time in history now, we have Israel. And you go back and you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, and you'll see so many of the countries that are named in that biblical prophecy as moving against Israel in this war that is described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And you can see them. They're all lining up just at this time in history. So I think that the things are really very, very exciting. I think it's Joel Rosenberg has written a couple of books that names and identifies all of these countries. And it's going to include Russia and the others. They're all going to move against Israel. There is no way Israel could possibly survive without, of course, God's intervention. And the question is...
One more thing I'd like to say about that. I think that the Iranian people at large may actually... have some affinity for Israel at this time. It seems like I remember hearing about that when the protests were going on. But the military of Iran, though, if they would wholeheartedly back the government in a war, I would think that they're being paid a lot of money to do it.
Well, I think that if they are attacked by Israel, the Iranian military will rally behind the government. My fear is that, of course, Israel attacks Iran, what they're going to have to do, they're going to have to fly across Egypt, they're going to have to fly across Saudi Arabia, and they've already been given permission to do that by the Egyptian government, by the Saudi Arabian government. This is all covered in a book written by Dr. Jerome Corsi. We did a wonderful interview with Dr. Corsi, maybe 2 weeks ago, but the book is called Why Israel Can't Wait. Jerome was actually invited to go to Israel for 3 weeks. He was given the opportunity to meet all of the leaders there. They told him, Israel cannot wait. If Iran doesn't agree to stop its nuclear effort, Israel is going to attack Iran. The book was written to engender sympathy for Iran, pardon me, for Israel. The problem is, when you start a war, you don't know how it's going to end. And this war, which I'm firmly convinced is coming, and whether it's coming in 3 months or 6 months or 2 years, as Lindsay Williams suggests, it doesn't matter. When you start a war, you never know how it's going to end, and it's going to end with disaster for those nations in the Middle East, but it's also going to end with disaster for America, because we're not named in the Bible. And since we're not named in the Bible, I feel that America is going to be no longer a player in international affairs. And people better understand that this country is turning against Israel, and once you turn against Israel, the Obama administration seems to be quite willing to abandon Israel in this situation. And certainly when a nation that turns against Israel will have God's judgment brought on it. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, God said of Israel, and I fear this is where we're headed. Anything else, Mario?
Oh, that's good. Thank you for your commentary.
Well, we're going to have Sidney John Quirk's going to be on again. We'll be doing more of these programs. Lindsay Williams has some fascinating information. We'll be having Lindsay on Friday evening at the 9 o'clock hour. I hope you can listen and
I'll be
late back there, but it'll be worthwhile listening to. And then we want you to help us get the information out. We've got to be the watchman on the wall, sounding the alarm, okay?
Okay.
Good night. God bless. Okay, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got Paul calling from Texas. Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Hi, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, and I just want to tell you thank you for being on the air for all of us out here.
Well, what a privilege it is to have a voice at times like this.
Well, I've been listening to your program for years now, and I had watched Riddles and Stone with Chris Pinto.
Wasn't that a great movie, DVD?
It was excellent. And what happened is I live in the city where there's a whole lot of architecture. And since I live right here and had some time, I spent on this. And it got to a point to where it is bell worship. It's very simple. And had you ever heard the term from Madame Blavatsky about as above, so below?
Oh, yeah, this is a very, very famous occult term, right?
Okay. Now, whenever you look at, say, the Washington Monument, it has a reflecting pond with it. I see this over and over again with these obelisks and reflecting ponds. And, I see a correlation there with as above, so below.
You're absolutely right. That's what it's about. You look into the pond, the reflecting pond in front of the Washington Monument that connects the Lincoln Memorial to the Washington Monument, and it's a clear day, and there's no ripples in the water. Well, you get the exact replica of the Washington Monument in the reflecting pond as you do standing towering over Washington. And then, of course, this is a reflection of as above, so below, as it is in the heaven, so it is here on earth.
Well, see,
but, of course, this is an occult term. And, exactly. And in fact, you'll find that term used in the message, which is, of course, I believe, is an occult interpretation of the scriptures, certainly used a great deal by Rick Warren in his various books. And in the Lord's Prayer, you know, on earth as it is in heaven has been changed to as above, so below. Go right ahead, right. Paul.
And then also, like I said, I've been studying this for a while and trying to open people's eyes of what's going on in this world about, you know everything you know that you talk about. And I also noticed that any time that they build fountains, there are always nine. And it took me a while to figure this out, but it comes down to where it's always, you always find the number nine. You can go to State Fair of Texas and there's a fountain there. There are nine museums. Well, after a while, I figured out that it is the nine daughters of Zeus. They were muses. They were always represented as nymphs. And I have gone to about five different places and found this every time. The number nine is always represented with it, and it's very obvious. You know, once you figure, you know, of course, once you know who these people are in the agenda, it's easy to figure out.
Well, once we understand who they are, once we understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle, and they love to leave their emblems hidden in plain sight. In fact, I don't know if you had a chance to actually read Dan Brown's latest book, The Lost Symbol. Have you a chance to look at it?
No, I have read so many books since, I guess in the last 4 years, I have turned the TV off and I get online and I listen to people and I get my notepad out. And I write down what they're saying and find out if, you know, this research, I find out if they're telling the truth or not.
Well, Dan Brown's book is going to be an all-time bestseller. I think his last book sold something like 50 million copies, and the law symbol will do pretty well, probably approach that. But as you open the book, why, of course, the first thing you come across is the statement, to be in the world and not understand the world is to like being in a magnificent library and not being allowed to touch the books. And of course, the quotation comes from a book called The Secret Teachings of All Ages. Now, Dan Brown doesn't tell you who wrote it, but that, of course, is the opus, the most important book ever written by the leading occultist of the last century, a man named Manly Palmer Hall. And so, basically, of course, Dan Brown is writing his book on the lost symbol. It has to do with masonry, Washington, D.C., the secret architecture of Washington, D.C., built upon his knowledge of the writings of Manly B. Hall, who worshipped Lucifer. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We'll be back in just a moment. Hang on there, Paul.
Okay.
Well, Paul, this book, I think, is important. It certainly is an exciting adventure story. But
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, you know, America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.
Own video camera?
With my own video camera, and you know, I'm spending, you know, my money, and I'll spend every dime I have to get the word out if I have to, but I would like to send you a copy of the CD.
Now, if I, I promise to watch it.
If you can use it, it's fine.
All right, fine. You get it off to me. How will I know this from you? Does it have a title?
I will send it to you. I'm in Galveston.
All right, fine. You get it off to us, and then you call us again in a week or so to see if we've watched it, okay?
Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night, God bless.
God bless.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, it was Paul calling from Galveston. Now, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners, my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and we could, if you could always use your help. Well, we've lost a lot of our supporters. A lot of them suddenly lost their jobs. So if you are in a position to step forward, we'd love to hear from you. And then, of course, we hope very much that if you're out there, many of you will want to have a weapon for this war. And I think can't think of a better weapon than my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because it explains the spirits of battle going on. And, of course, we want to do a printing on this or make a pre-publication offer. If you'd like to get a case of my books, and, of course, the books ordinarily of retail at $12.95, but for a suggested gift of $149.95, you can get 60 copies of this book, and plus shipping, of course. And we won't, of course, bill your credit card until such time as we're ready to actually go to print. But we need about 50 people. We've got a fair number already signing up, and of course, as soon as the offer is completed, we'll go ahead get the new printing, and then of course the offer won't be made again for several years. But you need a means of introducing people to what's really going on. So if you're in a position to get a case of our books or several cases, and you want to sell them, you do whatever you want to. What we want you to do is get the information and get it out across America. And of course, unfortunately, Tom Horn has reprinted the book. He's getting this into ministries all across America, ministries I never would have a chance to reach, doing a great job of circulating the book. I'm excited. More and more people are reading this book and beginning to understand what's going on. Of course, we have numerous quotations from Dan, from Manly P. Hall there. And of course, now, of course, why even... Even Dan Brown's talking a little bit about Manly P. Hall and his favorite book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages. Understand, we're involved in a spiritual battle. There really are Luciferian organizations out there. There really are people who worship Lucifer. and many of them are in key positions, not only in government, in education, in finance, but in the church as well, using the Christian church to advance not the cause of Christ, but, of course, of the counterfeit Christ. So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. If you'd like to, go ahead and get a case of books, or, of course, we suggest you get the various DVDs we've done, the Brotherhood of Darkness, the Forbidden Secret, the Financial Armageddon. They all come with syllabuses if you want to get that. The Secret Mystery series, very professionally done, 3 DVDs, including The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architects of Our Nation's Capital, and The Eye of the Phoenix goes in at Nicholas Roerich. But basically, you can get them separately, you can get them together, and then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get Pastor Billy Crone's excellent DVD series, the 10 of them, Part 1, Part 2, 5 in each. The Final Countdown, because you can't understand much of what's going on today unless you look at it through the prism of the Scriptures. And once you do, why, everything begins coming into focus today, including the coming war with Iran and the collapse of our economy. So please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish, who was an Israeli patriot, who, of course, had to come to America because of the threats against his life in Israel, because he was trying to get the truth out. But Barry has talked to us in the past about the Sabbateans. And I wanted, of course, to have you hear the rest of the story. And the Sabbateans are a Jewish sect that, of course, is into the occult. They're not really Jews at all. They've abandoned the Jewish religion. And everything that the Torah says is good, they say is bad. Everything the Torah says is bad, they say is good. It's like organized insanity. So without further ado, Barry, you go right ahead and pick up the rest of the story.
Sure, I will, with kind of a hoarse voice. I came back from my trip in Washington with the flu, and I hope that doesn't bother you, but we're going to do it. I re-listened to the show last time so I wouldn't repeat things, and it's really a very complicated story about these Sabbateans, and anyone who didn't hear the last show, I would just say go to your archives and listen to it. It's a complicated story, but we stopped off just before the Holocaust.
We spoke about the transfer agreement, an awful agreement between the Sabbatean Jews or labor Zionists and the Nazis to get German Jews into Israel and really just cut off the rest of Europe in 1939 from any emigration of Jews to Palestine or anywhere, and they knew a Holocaust was coming. The head of the Jewish agency, Chaim Weizmann, told the gathering in 1936 that perhaps 2 million Jews will survive the upcoming Holocaust, and he used the word for the first time that I'm aware of. And he was applauded, but he said these Jews will be strong and perfect for Eretz Israel. Now we go into the chapter of letting the Holocaust go on, and this is the saddest, most horrible chapter of Jewish history, is the ignorance of the mass slaughter of European Jews, well, by the Jewish agency, in other words, the Jews of Israel, but more to the point of your listeners, by the American Jews. Now, this is very, very serious stuff, and I'm not going to dive into the depth of it. I have a book that all I can say is get it. It's called Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism and the Holocaust. And we talk at great length about what the American Jewish leadership was doing to make sure that the FDR government did nothing to prevent the Holocaust. Nothing.
And I think this is so foreign to everything we've ever been led to believe. But these Sabbatean Jews hated the Jews. They wanted the Holocaust. Why? Because that was the only way we were going to get the Jews any of the Jews from Europe to go to the Holy Land. And that was far more important than the loss of 6 million lives. And so this is why, of course, the American government would not allow Jews to come in. I mean, they tried to come in by boat, and they were turned back. They tried to get into Great Britain, and of course, Winston Churchill made sure they weren't allowed to get there. This is such a tragic part of history. This is why we wouldn't bomb the rail lines going to Auschwitz. There were people who wanted this to happen right here in America. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, the key is that the leaders of American Jewry were all German Jews. They included, well, I'll give you a name, Louis Marshall, Jacob Schiff, Felix Warburg, Justice Felix Frankfurter, Rabbi Stephen Wise. They were all on top of the Jewish community in America. Nobody elected them, by the way. How they got there, I don't know. Honest, I haven't got a clue why the American Jewish people would put up with these horrible, horrible characters. But they kept the religious and the Orthodox Jews who wanted America to butt in and save their relatives, save their cousins. But again, these names, I'm going to say it again, Louis Marshall, Jacob Schiff, Felix Warburg, Felix Frankfurter, Stephen Wise, they were on top of the Jewish, community, if you call it that. They're all German Jews, and as we have said previously, between 1933, that's the signing of the transfer agreement, and 1939 when Britain shut off Palestine to the Jews and World War II began, they got the Jews they wanted for a new Sabbatean state. 80,000 German Jews came in. The rest were going to be slaughtered. They did not want old-fashioned, Torah-believing, religious Jews from Poland and Russia and all of Europe coming into Israel. They got the seed stock, and they wanted the Holocaust to go on, but, well, really a curse on FDR, for he knew the Holocaust was going on, and he let the American government hide the Holocaust as long as it could, and he let the Jews get slaughtered until enough pressure was brought on him by the likes of good guys like Bernard Baruch and so forth, who actually butt in already. By 1944, it was too late anyways.
Look, Chaim Weizmann thought that 2 million Jews would survive the Holocaust. In fact, where the Nazis attacked, only 100,000 survived. And they were stuck with a huge, huge embarrassment. And the next stage of the Sabbateans, now that they had a stake, there was enough guilt around, there was enough fighting in 48, where Israel did prove itself. Well, they had to hide.
Hold that thought, Barry. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Sammers. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Barry says that these Sabbatean Jews really wanted the Holocaust. They were quite willing to kill off most of the Jews of Europe so that they would have Jews that would be willing to leave Europe and go to Israel. That's how they were going to get them there. And
not really.
Okay, well, then you correct me.
Not really. Not by killing them off, you're not going to get any Jews to Israel. What you had to do was get the Jews of... They chose Germany. They cut a deal with the Nazis called the Transfer Agreement. And again, you have to go to RadioLiberty.com and listen to the previous one. It's a complicated story. The fact is they got the Jews they wanted from Germany from 1933 to 39. And as far as they were concerned, the rest of European Jewry could be wiped out. They want to start a new Judaism. The Jews of Europe did not accept, Shabtai Tzvi or Jacob Frank as their messiahs. And it was a mitzvah, it was a blessing to wipe them out. Or as Rabbi Antelman, in his book To Eliminate the Opiate, says, it was a burnt offering. Every Jew who died to these Sabbateans was a blessing. And by the way, not a few people have written this, that the gas chambers did not kill most of the Jews. It knocked them out. It knocked them cold. And they woke up in the furnaces and saw themselves burned to death. You're talking about something ghastly beyond belief. If these reports are true, and by the way, I'm not so sure they're not. I wasn't there. But the reports are the gas chambers did not kill, the furnaces killed. And this was the burnt offering of the Sabbateans. That's certainly the claim of Rabbi Antelman. Now, what you had after the Holocaust, there was one moment where the Israeli government should have been caught. Should have been. It was all exposed. Now, this is, in Israel, they know what this is. And there's even a cover-up movie coming out about Rudolf Kastner. Rudolf Kastner was the Jewish agency's, liaison, negotiator, with Adolf Eichmann for the 800,000 Jews left in Hungary, the last great population of living Jews. He was sent by the Jewish agency. Now, supposedly, he was going to negotiate for the 800,000 remaining Jews. But that's not what happened. Eichmann knew that, the war was lost. He had nothing to gain by shipping the Jews out. And he said to Kastner, you can have them all. Take every one of them. I don't care how you get them to Palestine. I don't care where you take them. But I need 10,000 trucks. And he stated, I don't want military trucks, I've got loot. I got to get out of here, I've got to get my loot out of here, just give me trucks. And there was, when Eichmann made the deal, in diplomatic circles, and they existed, Rabbi Yoel Brand pushed the deal. He flew to Aleppo, Syria. Where he was arrested by the second Prime Minister of Israel, Moshe Sharet, and he was shut down. In the end, Rudolf Kastner saw to the freedom of between 3 and 3,500 of his family, friends, and fellow labor Zionists, non-religious, He got 3,500 tough to Israel, let 800,000 go to the concentration camps. Now, this would have been buried. It would never have been known. You had, in fact, an alternative to what happened to the Hungarian Jews in the Sabbatean community, the labor Zionist community of Weizmann Ben-Gurion, where they took this brave woman, her name was Chana Senesh, she was dropped into the forests of Greater Hungary by the British to be a partisan. They turned her, she died bravely, by the way. What the labor Zionists did, they turned her into their martyr, that they dropped her into Hungary to save 800,000 Jews. This little woman single-handedly was going to save 800,000 Jews. They created a myth around a brave woman, but they turned her into a superwoman. All this exploded when a journalist, someone, by the way, who I don't know, but I sure relate to, his name was Malchiel Greenwald. He wrote a little tiny, there was no internet in 1951. He Xeroxed a little sheet, and he accused Rudolf Kastner of working with Eichmann hand in hand to betray 800,000 Jewish lives. And lo and behold, the government sued Malchiel Greenwald. And there was a case. Now, to read about the case, the most famous book is Perfidy by Hecht. H-E-C-H-T.
Ben Hecht, right.
Yes.
And he was at, what, he was in Hollywood, wasn't he, or something?
He was a very, very good Hollywood writer.
Right.
The famous one is The Front Page. But he wrote about, 15 Hollywood screenplays. He was very talented. He wrote a book called Perfidy. You want to know about how the labor Zionists tried to sue Greenwald for telling the truth, and in the end, the court decided that Rudolf Kastner, agent of the Jewish Agency, worked hand in hand with Adolf Eichmann to save 3,000 Jews and slaughter 800,000 others. It all came out. It should have been the end of Sabbateanism, but there's something about, I don't know what it is, I got to tell you, I don't know what it is about the Jewish mentality that will not accept even the worst. It doesn't matter how bad it is, you have to accept the truth when the Israeli courts decide that Kastner was at fault, that Kastner was negotiating with Eichmann, that he could have saved the Jews and didn't, and he was under order from Chaim Weizmann and Ben-Gurion and the Jewish Agency. Everything should have exploded in 1951, too. Somehow it didn't. And after that, well, I've got a chapter in my book, Save Israel, about, well, I went and interviewed a man named Joel Cohen. He was an orderly at Hadassah Hospital in Tel Aviv, and he was on the floor when Kastner was murdered by the government, and he told me how it was done. And luckily for me, I wrote it down, and it's there if anyone ever cares to see it in my book, Save Israel. The point of the matter is that the Sabbateans were almost exposed. They should have been exposed. But again, there's something about the Jewish mentality that won't allow, well, the people running Israel, well, to be exposed as mass murderers. Not of Arabs. Forget Arabs. Who cares about Arabs? I'm talking about their own people. Now, this is a nasty, nasty subject. You have to understand there were only three main characters in the saving of the Hungarian Jews. They were Rudolf Kastner, murdered by the Israeli Shabak Secret Service. Adolf Eichmann kidnapped from Argentina, put that soundproof booth, and supposedly murdered the only death penalty in Israel's history. I've heard other versions of that. And then you have Raoul Wallenberg, a Swedish diplomat who was working to save the Hungarian Jews. And lo and behold, he is killed. And look, only one group in the world could have benefited by shutting him up, and that was the Jewish Agency and the Sabbateans. You've got these rumors that the Russians did it. What for? Why would the Russians care about Raoul Wallenberg? The only people who had to shut him up were the Sabbateans. It's a story. This, by the way, is just one section, hiding the Holocaust when Israel was formed. As for the American Jews, what a job they have done. I mean, you've got the same gang. And by the way, Council on Foreign Relations today is no different than it was in 1938 or 42. The Jews are being, well, they're being led by their nose is what's happening. The American Jews covered up their absolute, well, the American government had the power to deal with the Nazis with arms or with diplomacy, but they had the power. FDR did nothing, absolutely nothing. And the great irony among the Jews to this day, the Jewish population of America believes FDR was a friend of theirs. And you can't change them. That's what they believe. That's what they believe.
Well, Barry, you're doing your best, and that's all you can do. You're not called to change their minds. You're called to tell them the truth, and those people are supposed to believe, will believe. And this is what keeps me going. I don't get frustrated if people don't think I'm right. I've done my job. I tell them the truth, and those who are supposed to believe will believe. And the same thing is true for you. Don't get discouraged. We'll be back in a moment. Oh, Barry, you go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
The Arab leaders to do it.
Well, they got the Arab leaders, of course, to stir it up, and they gained magnificently by apprehending all the property of the Jews who left. You could get very, very rich that way. In Morocco, you had about 500,000 went to France, and about 400,000 went to Israel, and, well, throughout the Middle East. Iran lost 200,000, Iraq lost 150,000. They got the Jews of the Middle East to populate Israel. Now, come on. If you're an Arab leader, what are you going to say? Sure, I'll give Israel all the soldiers to keep beating us. Of course it made no sense. But there are books on how the Zionists showed up, and there were meetings, and the meetings turned into public riots within 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You got the Jews out of the Middle East, but that's not the issue. It is the issue. It's only part of it, though. It's what was done to the Sephardic Jews when they landed in Israel. And this is a killer, and one I know personally. I know this personally. Two personally, actually. We'll start with the Yemenite children.
All right, fine.
And then we'll go on to the ringworm children.
All right, fine. So the Yemenite children would have come. They would have been the Jewish immigrants from Yemen, right, coming into Israel.
Yeah, the wings of eagle operation. Except on these wings of eagles, they were put into transient camps because there was no housing. They lived in tents for the first 5-6 years. Their children, I mean a lot of the children, the Yemenites may have had, 80,000, probably fewer. 4,500 of their children, well, they were kidnapped, and their parents were told that they were taken to the hospital for a flu or whatever reason. Next morning, the parents were informed they were dead. All right, now this is a long story where years later, thanks to Rabbi Uzi Meshulam, someone who I knew well, talk about that shortly, they opened the graves. The graves were empty. There were no graves. I'll go straight to the point.
All right, in other words, basically the parents were told the children, the 4,900, the children had died. And years later, they opened the graves, and the children weren't there. So obviously, the children were kidnapped and sent some other place. Is that right?
The parents were stupid. They just didn't know Hebrew. They came from a backwards Arab country, Yemen. They didn't believe that the people of Israel could be so heartless as to kidnap their children But they knew. They knew their children were being kidnapped. They weren't stupid. As a matter of fact, the Yemenites, if you can judge intelligence, they're an extremely bright, artistic people. And they know when their kids are missing. They treated them, well, I'm going to use the terminology, and you're not going to like it. They called them the Schweizer, the blacks. They viewed them in 1949-50 in terrible terms. These are terms that nowadays just simply have mostly disappeared, but they sure were around back then. They didn't think they had emotions. I mean, I try to understand how they could take children from their parents. I saw Uzi Meshulam in prison. He asked to see me. He actually sent a message after my Rabin assassination, made more fuss than all of their protests, all of anybody's protests. I made more headway with my strategy, getting Rabin out, than they made. And Uzi Meshulam had really united the Yemenite people, and he wanted the biological parents returned. Now, what Israelis were told were they were poor and they couldn't take care of their children, they were sent for adoption. Nonsense. A few were sent for adoption for about $5,000 each. I went to the prison. It was quite a prison, too. I mean, I went about 8 corridors down till I got to his... I hear music.
And basically, this was a rabbi who was trying to get... he was a rabbi, was he?
He was the rabbi who tried to get the Yemenite children back.
Right. And he was trying to get the information out about the kidnapping of these over 4,000, almost 5,000 Yemenite children. What happened to them? We'll be back in just a moment here.
Time.
And, of course, that was Kate Smith singing that wonderful, wonderful song, God Bless America. And it's so important that people understand that at one time this was a different country than the one we have today. Will God ever bless America again? Well, I'm not certain it's going to. Our job is to try to foment a revival, because that's the only hope for our nation today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly Barry's been telling us about the Sabbateans and, of course, their treatment of the Yemenite children. And because, of course, Barry had gotten a certain amount of notoriety after he tried to expose the fact that the government was behind the assassination of the premier, Sidney Rabin, why, of course, the rabbi who was trying to get the story out about the kidnapping of the Yemeni children had asked Barry to come to prison so he could tell him the story. Now, before we get into that part of it, Barry, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your books, specifically the book on the Sabbateans, but any other books that are important for this subject, how they can get your DVDs, and how they can invite you to come to talk to their groups to get the information out. So go right ahead.
Well, you really should get Sabbateans, Labor Zionism, and the Holocaust. Everything we're saying today is in that book. And you go to lulu.com. You'll see a little search box. Write in my name, Chamish. That'll get you to all the books. And, well, if you want to know about the Sabbateans, the book again is Sabbateans, Labor Zionism, and the Holocaust. My website, of course, is barrychamish.com. Now, I must add, I just got back from a very good tour of Washington. I gave 6 lectures in 5 nights. One night was 5 hours of it, which led to this awful flu I've got right now. I think it was cold there. But nonetheless, I think you should invite me to speak. I had excellent hosts, really good hosts, Bill and Cappy and OMAC, and then I had Nancy and I had Greg and Sumas, and all the books were sold, and people are a little better off. If you want to invite me to lecture, you just phone me, 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. I don't think you'll be disappointed. I know these crowds certainly were not. It was a very good tour. Now, we go back. Don't underestimate for a second the influence of my book, Who Murdered Rabin. It got into corners all over Israel, and they wanted to know how I got through where other people couldn't. And Uzi Masulim, who had been fighting for Yemenite rights, well, certainly for 2 or 3 years before I wrote the Rabin book, called me to his cell in prison. And what a cell. I mean, down and down and down. I got to the bottom of this prison. He's surrounded by wires. Layers of wire, there's no getting out. And I want you to know something before I go on. Uzi Masulim was lobotomized. He got out of that prison as a zombie. His son is in Canada, escaping from the Shabak. It's a vicious, vicious thing. But what he told me is what he told me, and it's turning out to be absolutely right. He said that Shimon Peres, today's president, in the late 40s, was the first chairman of the Israel Atomic Energy Commission, which, by the way, he loves to tell how he brought the Mona to Israel. He also brought 7 X-ray machines from the U.S. Army to Israel. And he sent probably 4,000 Yemenite babies to America to die in horrible, horrible atomic experiments. This is what he told me. I went into a cell, he blasted music, and he explained the whole story that the Americans had their own victims, and they got caught, and they ran out of victims, and Paris, for a few atomic secrets, gave them all the babies they could use, the Yemenite children. About 5,000 were adopted as a cover story more than anything else. But it got even worse, and this Rabbi Meshulam did not tell me. I found out the great details from the director of a movie called The Ringworm Children. His name was David Belhassen. Now, this was a major, major movie in Israel. It won the Haifa Film Festival. It exposed such a crime. And yet, somehow, I don't know how the Sephardic community does not rebel against the treatment they were given. They were brought to Israel from all corners of the Middle East. The most came from Morocco because, of course, they have the most Jews. They were the children from 1949 to 1956 or 7 were separated in their classrooms. Ashkenazi versus Sephardic. The Sephardim were taken in buses to camps where their heads were shaved. Marker pens divided their heads into several different areas, and they were blasted with at least 350 times the permitted amount of gamma rays through their brains. Every child of the Sephardic community, 115,000, were blasted. 6,000 died quickly. The rest, well, it's a genetic nightmare in Israel. You see the women with sparse hair. I used to think that Moroccan women just had sparse hair. It wasn't until I understood that their hair was blasted out of their heads, supposedly to cure scalpel ringworm. That was the excuse given. In fact, there was a eugenics experiment where the Sabbateans took a whole nation of Jews, the Sephardic nation, from every country in the Middle East, and they blasted their brains out all through the 50s. What a nightmare Israel was in the 50s. You arrived from Iraq, you arrived from Egypt, from Algeria, and your children were blasted with massive amounts of gamma rays. They came home from school, literally many were retarded. Many suffered tremendous, well, they could barely stand the rest of their lives. Now, Israelis were always told, because the Moroccans were a very unsuccessful group in Israel, they really did not assimilate well. What Israelis were told, what I was told, is that France, where the Moroccans did very, very well, not to mention New Jersey and Montreal, everywhere the Moroccan Jews went, they did well. In Israel, well, there's no word to how badly they did, and they're still struggling badly. What we were told was that the French got the good ones, the educated ones, and we got the stupid ones. And Israelis bought this. The fact is, in France, their brains weren't blasted with 350 times the permitted dose of gamma rays. That's why our Moroccans in Israel were stupid. They were abused. The Sabbateans had no sense whatsoever of the humanity of Jews. This is something Jews can't understand this, and they block it. Block it. You can't get through to them with this. When the saboteurs got off the airplanes, their religious earlocks were cut off. They were forced to become socialists or they wouldn't have any work. They were going to change, oh, at least 2,000 years of cultural heritage in 1 second. That you could almost forgive. You could not forgive the physical abuse done to every single child from the Sephardic nations by the Sabbatean Jews of Israel during the 50s. It's unforgivable. I'm not sure I made that point well
enough. No, you made it very, very clearly. It's just so devastating to think of it because ordinarily human beings are concerned about the welfare and the health of children. And the idea that these wicked people would set out to destroy the brains of those children is so beyond the pale. And yet I have no question that it happened. It's described on the internet. Well, as far as the Yemeni children were concerned, were any of them ever returned to their parents, or were they simply killed with the radiation experiments?
Two or three managed to get back. That's also in my book. Go to lulu.com, look me up, CHAMISH, get the books, and you'll see these god-awful experiments. I don't want to...
Which book are they in? Where can people find them?
Well, for the Sabbateans, it's Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism, and the Holocaust.
And is that where the story of the Yemeni children and the Sephardic children? Okay, fine, go ahead.
It's in there. It begins with Save Israel. When I first interviewed Rabbi Meshulam, they viewed me as some sort of savior. I knew how to break through the socialist Sabbatean labor Zionist wall. I figured out a way that the truth can actually out. The Sephardim are not taken seriously in Israel, and we'll talk about that very shortly. I want to jump ahead now to where the butcher, the head of the Israeli Atomic Commission, who worked with the American Army, don't underestimate this. This was working hand in hand with the American Army. They didn't know enough about way back in 48. They didn't know the full effects of radiation. They had to experiment to find out. They hadn't set off a hydrogen bomb yet. You needed guinea pigs. And Shimon Peres, today's president, gave them the guinea pigs in numbers over 100,000. A whole generation of Sephardic children were blasted with gamma rays. The whole generation. Let's go forward now.
Okay,
can we go
right
forward?
Ahead. Sure, go ahead.
All right. This happened this week. Just to let you know how nothing has changed. First of all, now, you may or may not know who Rechavam Ze'evi was. Rechavam Ze'evi was the tourist minister under Ariel Sharon. He threatened Sharon that if Shimon Peres isn't removed from the government immediately, he would leave the government, and he had backers who would leave with him, including Avigdor Lieberman, who is the foreign minister of Israel today. And just to let you know, they all know, all the leaders of Israel know how just wicked the political conspiracies are in that country. They know it. Ze'evi told Sharon, that's it, we're leaving the government. Peres stays another day. I pull out Yisrael Beiteinu with me, and I leave. Well, within 2 days, at 7:30 in the morning, of the day he was going to give his resignation speech to the Knesset, because Sharon didn't fire Shimon Peres, he was shot dead. And, of course, Paris was behind the murder. Paris is behind the murder of every major leader in Israel. Anyone who gets in his way, he murders. He is a butcher, and not of just individual politicians, again, of over 100,000 Sephardi children and babies. That's who Paris is. He's a killer of toddlers. He's a killer of leaders. He was a killer of Rabin, and he was a killer of Ze'evi. And there are others. Eliyahu, Ben Elisar, Mordechai Gur, there's a list, Mordechai Gur. Paris is a vicious, nonstop murderer. And he gave an epithet at the memory of Ze'evi. And, well, you just have a vicious attack by Michael Ben Ari against Paris. He turns Ze'evi, here's a quote, into a member of peace now, and claimed that Ze'evi supported a Palestinian state. First he murders him, then he slanders him. The sickness is beyond understanding. It truly is, but it's even worse. Right now, as we speak, until tomorrow evening, President Paris organized an international conference with the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. I'm so ashamed. That's where I got my MA. I'm so ashamed of that. Right now at the Bindinejo Convention Center, Paris's conference with 3,500 delegates from around the world are talking about today's crises. I'm going to give you, it's not a long list of invited guests. Watch this. This is about a third of the guests. U.S. investment strategist for Goldman Sachs, Abby Joseph Cohen, member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Bank of Israel Governor Stanley Fisher, former member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Former U.S. administration officials, Stuart Eisenstadt and Elliot Abrams, members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Senior associate at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, Edward Luttwak, member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And let's just close off this magnificent gathering by Shimon Peres, executive chairman of the Rothschild Group, Baron David de Rothschild. All of these are at Peres' international conference.
And where was it being held now?
Jerusalem.
Right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it seems very hard to believe, but this is the reality of what's going on. There really are these secret organizations working by.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Cognitive dissonance, they want to withdraw. We can't let that happen. Is there any way we can get them listening to American Internet? Because American Internet radio goes all throughout the world today.
You know, you're asking the wrong person. It's been a long struggle, and do I believe it? No. No, the power over this mentality is supreme. You've already had a Holocaust of practically all the Jews of Europe. You can get away with one of practically all the Jews of Israel. There is nothing that I see. But maybe you're right. Maybe somehow or another someone out there has got an idea. I'm out of them. Gathering facts doesn't do the tricks anymore.
All right, fine. Well, we'll be talking to you again next week. God bless. Thanks very much for being with us, Barry.
My pleasure.
All right,
bye.
Fine. But don't get discouraged. Bye-bye. Okay, bye. That was Barry Shamish, and we hope you enjoy our interviews with Barry. We try to have him on every week. Fascinating source of information. A very, very courageous man who's risked his life for over 30 years trying to save the country he loves, which is Israel. And I think we're privileged to have him here, because you'll get a different slant from Barry than you'll get elsewhere. Well, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that America is also involved in a spiritual battle with Chris. But Barry, I don't think, understands that there really are organized satanic forces. I believe that this Sabbatean movement is part of this world satanic movement, and it involves every one of our religions. It involves the Catholic religion, the Protestant religion, the Jewish religion. Those forces are working within the Mormonism and Hindu religions. But, of course, what we need to do is profess the divinity of Jesus Christ and do everything we can to get people to understand the significance of the events that are taking place today. If you want to put them into the spiritual perspective, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and you need to get a case of the books and help us to get them out. If you want to understand how this all fits together, so you'd want to get the DVDs, the Secret Mystery Series, which we're featuring, the three very professionally done DVDs. I appear in all three of them. Small parts, but maybe a significant part. Because I certainly pointed out that when America was founded, there were two major forces. One was the Christian, but the other was the occult, meaning hidden. And, of course, these were the people who worshipped Lucifer. And, of course, they had to conceal their existence for many years. Only now is it beginning to come out, and our job is to bring this out, let people understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, an ideological and cultural battlefield, but it is a spiritual battle. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. In fact, you'd be better off to get a case at a very reduced cost. And then, of course, the DVD series, The Secret Mystery, Pastor Billy Crone's 10-DVD set, The Final Countdown, Chris Pinto's DVD, The Aquarian Conspiracy, I should say the Atlantis Connection, Constance Cumby's DVDs, pardon me, Constance Cumby's CDs called The Aquarian Conspiracy, and then the DVD that she did, Talk Care, a couple of years ago. Just ask for the Constance Cumby DVD. We've got so many things. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, look at the DVDs. If you want to understand what goes on in Cuba, you need to get my DVD on the World Revolution and Servando Gonzalez, Treason in America. And then, of course, my telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs. Our radio programs, 5 hours, actually 9 hours a day, 4 hours live and 9 hours in total. And then please pray for America and pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. It is the 21st of October, 2009, and you're in the right place. You are at home now. There is some truth. We will make sense of some of this nonsense, ladies and gentlemen. I do thank you very much for spending your time with us, because I know it could be anywhere out there that you could be watching or listening to whatever it is you want to be entertained by, but you choose not to do that. In the news today, swine flu, turkey flu now, unfortunately, in Canada, just after Thanksgiving occurred there. We've got turkey flu, and it looks like it might be coming to the United States in time for our Thanksgiving also. But don't worry about it, they said. The turkeys will do just fine. They'll get better. They've been vaccinated, and no problem. Oh, really? Could it be that they got vaccinated, and that's why they have the problem? You see, all of these animals that are now getting swine flu appear to have been vaccinated. Do we see a trend here? Do we see a creation of a pandemic? Of course, we happen to be labeled as being outside the cage here at the Power Hour and thinking about questions we're not even supposed to ask. And isn't it sad? We are supposed to just take whatever they tell us on television, run to your local Walmart, Walgreens, fill in the blank, get your shot, and then wait. Well, there is a British Columbia man who was paralyzed after receiving a flu shot in 2007. His annual 2007 flu shot created Guillain-Barré syndrome. But, of course, they don't want you to think about all of those people who are now having lives affected because they took the vaccine. It's always after the fact they learn. It's once they get their ox gored. Britain says that people will starve without GM foods. Well, I don't think it's the people in Britain that are saying that, but they want to be able to give GM foods to the British people. What does it do? We know it hurts the animals, but I guess people, well, they'll be just fine, they're supposed to think. There was a bill passed through that none of us really knew about called, it was Senate Law 1858 or Senate Bill 1858. Did you know that in April of 2008, Bush signed a law which allows the federal government to screen the DNA of all newborn babies in the United States? Every one of them. Heine flew in Missouri, right next to where we live, in High Point Elementary School, High Point, Missouri, which is about 15 miles from here, announced its closing yesterday. They will be closed yesterday until the 23rd because they have a problem with the children not attending school due to illness. Whenever they say that 20% of the students are out sick, they're going to close down the schools. Well, that's what happened locally here, and the school is shut down. You know, it's interesting also. Well, I'll tell you about that after a while, and we'll go into that story. We've got some chatter from some people that listen to the program but would like us to hear what they have to say, or at least I want you to hear what they have to say. And one of these is from Norway, a question on the flu coming out of Norway. And I do appreciate all of the personal notes that we have. Gary and Wanda are back in Texas again, and we are so happy to have them back, but so sorry for what they've experienced with the loss of Gary's mother. But we ask you to continue to think of them in your prayers, because it's a